There's nothing like being in the stands cheering on your favorite team. GameTime is your hack to unlocking amazing tickets in just a few taps. Plus, their GameTime guarantee means you can trust you'll get 100% authentic tickets at the best price. Fees are always included, so what you see is what you pay. Get the best deals on sports tickets. Download the GameTime app and create an account to start searching for tickets to upcoming games and events. Swipe, tap, ticket, go. GameTime.
Hey everybody, welcome to the press. Great to have you here. We're going to talk about every tournament that we care about this week in just this one episode here on Wednesday. We're going to talk about the Black Desert Championship on the PGA Tour. And then we're going to talk about the Open de France, the FedEx Open de France at Paris Le Golf National. And then we're going to talk about the Buick LPGA Shanghai. Those are the three main tournaments for the week. We're done for the year with LIV. We're done for the year with the Korn Ferry Tour. That's where I was last week, out of the Korn Ferry Tour Championship in Indiana, doing all that stuff for Golf News Net TV and streaming. Lots to come on that front, but kind of all coming together behind the scenes, which is great. LIV's done for the year as well. So this is what we've got. We've got Champions Tour also in North Carolina, the SAS Championship in Cary. It's their last regular season event before they get into the playoffs. I'm not going to touch that. You're welcome to, but I'm not going to talk about that here on this episode. Let's start with the Black Desert Championship out in Utah. It's a new venue. It's the first time the PGA Tour is going to be in Utah in, I think it's like 63 years is what they said, but at least 60 years. I know that. And it's a golf property that is in Ivins, Utah, which is not too far from St. George, Utah. If you ever played golf out there, I can't remember if it's once or twice. I think twice in my life have played out there, but Sand Hollow is incredible, super fun. One of my favorite places I've played golf ever, especially as a public facility. And then they've opened up this massive place. It's not only going to host the PGA Tour, for I think it's 5 years, but also the LPGA Tour. So they are really putting an investment into professional golf, getting the resort on the map. A good buddy of mine who will actually be on our streaming show, Two Off the First today, Brian Taylor, who's a host of Real Golf Radio out in Utah. He's worked with the resort. He's been to the resort a ton. He loves the place. It's a Tom Weisskopf design. Now, Tom Weisskopf doesn't have many designs out there in the universe, but interestingly enough, two of them are played on the PGA Tour. TPC Scottsdale is a Weisskopf, and so is this one. There are some key differences between the places, but the landing areas are pretty generous, generally speaking. So I would expect players to go low here this week, barring any kind of massive swing in wind. And I'm not counting on that. I think you're going to see great temperatures. It should be very pleasant. Should be fun for everybody. It's going to be more like a resort course because it is a resort, which means they're probably going to tear it up. So think about some comp courses here. I think obviously about Scottsdale because it's a Weisskopf. I think to a degree what we're going to see at the Worldwide Technology Championship at Cardinal, although it's not quite that wide. And then I also would consider thinking about Kapalua just a little bit, not a ton, just a little bit. There's not a ton of up and down, you know, elevation change here at this golf course. It's still Utah, but it is deserts and there is some mountain component to it. So there will be some land movement. It's not totally flat. It's not this, not the Midwest or anything like that. So I think you can draw some parallels between those places, not absolutes. We're just trying to kind of get a flavor of what we see at this golf course compared to others on the PGA Tour. And then compared to the field. The nature of the fall, and the reason why I don't really care about talking about the fall as much now that they've changed it, is there's so much parity. There's a lot of parity in this field, and you're going to get practically the same field throughout the fall that it's hard to just kind of reach out and trust one player at any venue, much less this particular new one. So the odds reflect that, right? And we'll talk about him here. Keith Mitchell leads the table at 18-1. He had a great week last week. Fell a shot short of a playoff. Almost got himself a chance at another PGA Tour win, but couldn't par 18. Missed the playoff. Kevin Yu and Bo Hostler find their way in there. And in the end, Bo Hostler winds up losing the playoff to Kevin Yu, right? So Keith Mitchell, 18-1. Then you've got 225s, Seamus Power and Kurt Kitayama. I'm going to say I like Kitayama here this week, and the primary reason is another comp I'm going to try to draw here, which is to the Mexico Open, Vedanta Vallarta. That's a resort course, fairly wide open. The distinguishing feature of Black Desert is the volcanic rock, the black rock that you'll see that really pops. And it probably will be distracting to some players, but isn't really in play for them unless you hit it massively bad. And having those wide, generous landing areas is great for a guy like Kitayama who just likes to hit the crap out the ball. I think he can do very well on this golf course. I like him at 25-1. I think he's worth a look. Chris Kirk at 30-1. If you like my comp of Kapalua, well, he just won there, right? He had a great year and kicked it off the right way. I like him at that number. Chan Kim is 30-1. I'm going to say no. Steven Yeager, 30-1. I could find interesting. Big bomber, big ballpark. Had some of his best successes in courses that sort of like look like this off the tee, minus the volcanic rock. I could buy that. Bo Hostler, 30-1, has been great. And I guess you have to decide what you think he's going to do having had a playoff loss. Can you come back the next week and win? It's really hard to do. I would rather look at him at a top 10 at plus 280 or a top 5 at plus 550. Just because it's hard to bounce back and win after a heartbreaking loss. It just is. Patrick Fishburne's had a nice little run. He's 30-1. I would rather look at Ben Griffin at 35-1. He's a little rusty, but he has played some of his best golf this year in these weaker field events. This isn't a really weak event, but a weaker field event. I think this could work well for him. Andrew Novak at 35-1. Ryan Fox is 35-1. I kind of like Ryan Fox this week. Again, a ballpark where he can hit it hard, hit it far. He has his card locked up. He's 102 on the FedEx fall list. He's got plenty of points. Now he's just trying to play for position to get into that next 10, that 51 through 60 on the fall list, so that you get in the first two mainland U.S. The signature events for next year. I think there's plenty to play for him here. He can be aggressive. Patrick Rogers, JJ Spahn, also 35-1. Spahn's been playing great golf the last several months. I don't think I like this place for him, but it's not a horrible play. Two guys I want to point out. There's a bunch of 40s, by the way. Lucas Glover, Mac Meisner, Michael Thorbjornsson, Doug Gim, and EVR, Erik Van Rooyen. I think of those, I like Thorbjornsson here. He's close to getting in that top 125, maintaining a status. That's really important. This is a place where he can just mash. And if he can be comfortable mashing, I think he can do some great stuff here. I would like him to win and a top 10, a plus 360. Lucas Glover's been playing great. I like him here at 40-1, I think is a reasonable pick. Alex Smalley's 45, Svensson, Schmid 45. Matt McCarty is 45. That tells you something weird, right? I mean, he just came off the Korn Ferry Tour, won three times on that circuit, made the cut in the Sanderson Farms last week, played it quite well, I thought, at least the first day and a half, and then I think just the reality set in that he's now on the freaking PGA Tour, and he's got to play a little bit of a different game. But this week may feel more like a Korn Ferry Tour event because it's a resort course where you just put the ball in play, and you can be pretty aggressive. I like his chances in that style of event. Harry Hall, Pat Kizire, Jacob Bridgman, Daniel Berger are all 51. Berger didn't quite get the job done right at the Sanderson Farms, but he does say he feels totally healthy. He does feel like he's back to himself. I'd like to see a little bit more evidence of that. But for the first time in a long time, I actually look at Daniel Berger's name and don't just immediately skip it. That's progress. That's good. Kizire, though, 50-1, won in Hawaii, obviously on a different golf course than Kapalua. Doing that at Wailea is a little bit different, but he has been playing very, very well. He followed up the win at the Pro Corps with a very good finish in Jackson, keeps playing his way through it. I kind of like that 50-1 number for him. Harris English is 55, Chandler Phillips, CT Pan, Justin Lauer. I mean, you notice kind of the bunching here of names, right? There are 4, 5, 6 guys in these positions where it's typically not quite this robust, and there's not quite this much of the field at this price point. I love betting Mark Hubbard, 60-1. I could be interested in that. Nick Taylor, I could kind of be interested in 71. I don't think so. Max McGreevy is playing this week at 70-1. Max just got his card back, full status back from the Korn Ferry Tour. That's not why he is in this event. He does have PGA Tour or had PGA Tour status as a former player. He gets in here 70-1, playing really, really good golf. I mean, just great golf throughout the summer. Could be an interesting threat here at that figure. Again, playing a style of golf that is not too dissimilar than what he has been playing on the Korn Ferry Tour. Nick Hardy, Michael Kim, Hayden Springer, 75-1. Really curious name here, Zach Blair at 80-1. He's a Utah native. I don't know how much he's experienced this place, but sort of a home game type thing, right? That's kind of cool. He is a partial owner of the tree farm down in South Carolina that's still dealing with Hurricane Helene cleanup and recovery. So maybe his mind's there, maybe it's not. I don't know. I think that's an interesting thought. Another guy I want to mention in this 80 range, Alexander Bjork. I really wish he played better this year. He's such a great ball striker, but he can't putt for a lick. That may actually work well for him this week because ball striking on a new course that's kind of wide open is great, and everyone's going to kind of struggle with putting. Weisskopf has some tough greens, has some really tricky, subtle greens. That could work in his favor a little bit. Might be interesting on a top 10 wager, plus 550, and an outright at 80-1. The other guy I will mention in this group, and it's the last guy I'm going to mention, period, is K.H. Lee at 80-1. And the only reason I say that is because he won going super deep at Craig Ranch on a golf course that's wide open with big greens and big surfaces. Might just be his style. He's also played well some desert golf in the past too. So I would look at him at that 80-1. David Skins shot a 60 last week. It was 110-1. He's unpredictable. Followed up the next round with nothing. That's going to makes it. That's a perfect example of how hard it is to predict these types of events. And once you get past him, you're getting into guys like Luke List, Matthew Neesmith. Get further down to that. Maybe a Will Gordon. Troy Merritt is a Utah guy. I mean, perhaps. But I think you're going to be struggling to find a guy past 80 or 90-1 that you kind of feel any kind of feelings for, unless you're finding some kind of really copium style parsing of the data. So that's how I would look at this week on the PGA Tour. Let's go to the Open de France, which is the event this week of the DP World Tour, the French Open, FedEx French Open. It's at Lake Golf National, which is the host of the Olympic tournament, host of the 2018 Ryder Cup, and host of this event every year. It's a good tournament. Not great weather this week because they've got that like Hurricane Kirk that turned into a tropical storm that's like just crushing that part of France right now with a ton of rain. I mean, a ton of it. This is like the first time in recorded meteorological history that a hurricane has effectively survived the Atlantic Ocean to hit Central Europe. The first time. So it's cold and it's rainy. Weather's going to stink. It's going to make this kind of a lottery ticket week. If you look at the weather forecast for Paris today, lots of rain. Lots and lots and lots of rain. Localized flooding is expected in parts of Paris. This is just outside of downtown Paris a little bit. Expect showers on Thursday, Saturday. It's supposed to be not so windy, which is typically the problem at Lake Golf Nationals, the wind, but it's just going to be cold. High 50s, maybe 60 degrees. It's going to be not fun. So who do you think of in not fun conditions? I think of Billy Horschel. Loves this kind of crap. He's playing in the field this week. He's 12-1. I'm interested in him at that number, but not loving it. I'd rather look at him at a top five at plus 260. He can very easily win this thing. I know he's a good mutter. I know he likes the conditions. I know he's a grinder kind of guy. There aren't lots of those people. Another I would look at is Matt Wallace. Seems to love grinding conditions. Plus 1,800. There's a reason he's up there. Torbjørn Olesen, another guy that seems like a grinder. 22-1, just came off of a pro-am win at the Alfred Dunhill Links. Tristan Lawrence is 18-1. Typically, I would tell you to like him. I don't love him in the wind too much. I don't hate him, but he's had so many second place finishes. He had so many close calls this year. He's playing great, great golf. You at least have to think about him. I realize I'm picking a lot of top heavy guys here. You got Tom Dietrich at 28-1, who I think is an interesting play because I think he handles wind and gross conditions pretty well. Look at the Bermuda Butterfield or Butterfield Bermuda Open, that championship. That tournament, he has played well in just windy, nasty conditions. Not going to be especially windy here, but it's tight. It's hard to play. Dietrich can do it. I like him at 28-1. Matteo Manassero, 30-1, I think is very underappreciated here. This is not an especially long golf course. You don't have to hit it particularly far. There's a lot of laying up, short irons, hybrids, fairway woods on this golf course. I think that can play into his hands at 30-1. Justin Rose is 30-1, by the way. I was kind of surprised to see him in the field listing, but I do like him a little bit. Guido Migliozzi at 45-1, I do like. I think he is worth at least a consideration. Going down a little bit more, Rasmus Nygaard-Petersen had a very nice week, yet again, in the Alfred Dunhill Links Championship. Back-to-back years of playing very well in that tournament. He's eventually going to figure this out. Might be this week. 55-1 is worth a consideration. Beyond that, I think you're going to be struggling to kind of find a guy you love. Yeah, I mean, you're getting into like Nicholas Kolsarts and Marcel Siem being 90-1. I think that tells you something. Ugo Cassad could be really interesting this week. He always gets priced super long because he's very difficult to predict. But I do like him here at that 110-1 number that I'm seeing on DraftKings. I think that's worth at least a thought. That's all I'll say. T29 at the Open de España, T7 at the BMW PGA, missed cut before that at the Irish Open, and not too great at the European Masters, but pretty good at the Maiden Denmark, which is a difficult course to play. So not the best for him, but not horrible for him. There's been some stuff recently that gives you a reason to give a crap about him, and he's a Frenchman. So that would be my look there at the Open de France. Last tournament we'll talk about, we'll make it snappy, just the Buick LPGA Shanghai. This is a kind of weird cursed tournament. It's the fourth year they've played it. They're at a new venue this year, so we don't know the venue very well at all. They've tried to play this tournament a bunch of times, basically through the experience of COVID. Got canceled, I believe, three years in a row or something like that. Finally had it last year. I don't know what to expect from this. What our group has done, our group called the LPGA 6, a bunch of us who talk about the LPGA Bound, the LPGA Pterodactyl, Greg Thompson, Scott Mader, a number of guys that we talk about this stuff every week. And what we have figured out about this tournament is we're not betting Gino Tittical, Italia Tittical. She's renamed herself. I'm not betting her. She's a plus 550 to win this thing. She comes close all the time and hardly ever wins. It's just kind of hard to trust plus 550. Janet Lin's 11-1. Ronnie Yin is 12-1. I like Ronnie here, 12-1. Interesting enough, Pterodactyl doesn't like Ronnie. Is fading her. Minji Lee at 16-1. Just too erratic this year for me. Rose Zhang at 18-1 is kind of interesting. I think she can win here. But I also feel like she's just not consistent enough yet to really warrant, I know she's at the skill level, but to warrant that price of 18-1. Nasahata Oka last time out at the LPGA event in Rogers, Arkansas. I picked her for the LPGA 6, got so close. I think she's starting to turn it around. I do like her here. I do like Ari Jatanyagarn quite a bit, 20-1. She's quietly had a very, very good year. She's played well in Asia in the past. I do like her on this number. I like Esther Henslight at 25-1. Thought she had a pretty decent Solheim Cup. She played well in this event last year. Plenty of reason to think she's got something worth offering here. Ashley Buhai played well her last time out at the event in Arkansas. Didn't quite get the job done, but a 28-1 I think is at least worth a thought. Allison Lee, I think, is definitely worth a thought here, but I would pair it with a top five bet or a top 10 bet. Probably a top 10 bet. This is an 81 player field. There's no cut. You're getting four rounds regardless. She was over there for the Aramco team series on the LET, the Saudi-backed series that they have. She just played in that, so she's been over there. 35-1 might be worth a look. After that, I think there's some value in it. I want to like Leona Maguire this week. I really do. Just trying to hit the ball around. But I may not be able to get there on a 60-1. Shanette Wanessen, I do like a bit at 80-1. She didn't make my card for the LPGA 6, but I do like her here. Jasmine Swanepoel just won as a 175-1 shot. And now she's 80-1 here at DraftKings this week. I wouldn't expect that to happen again, but kind of interesting. Someone I also want to point out here that just seems like way too long of a shot at 120-1 is Alexa Pano. She continues to play pretty well. She's on the borderline for the top 60 players to get into the CME Tour Championship. She's 92nd in the world, 58th in the world ranking. If you look at her results this year and recently, she's kind of all over the place. T49 in Cincinnati. Missed the cut in her hometown event in the Boston area. But that was right after the AIG Women's Open, where she finished tied for 10th. She missed the cut in the Scottish Open. Maybe she doesn't like that brand of golf. T14 before that at the Portland Classic. Missed cut in Canada. Like, it's all over the map. That's why she's 120-1. But the possibility is there. New course, four rounds, a bad putter's paradise. She's got time for her ball striking to work. She knows there's no pressure in the cut. You can just fire away. I think she's an interesting play here at 120-1. I think that's going to do it for us today on the show and for the week. Appreciate it. Want to give you just a quick heads up about some things coming to GNN TV. We now air the Preferred Line Show with Joe Idoni, which is great. We're having that on the programming grid each and every week. We're going to start doing versions of the press that will air in our weekday day side block. That'll start probably in a few weeks' time once we get connected to our first official platforms, which will be Rewarded TV, Free Live Sports, and Freecast, and then our apps for Amazon Fire, Roku, and Apple TV, which are coming out hopefully in the next few days. So I'll give you an update on that, but we'll have video versions of all those things. We're going to continue to do this, I think, as a separate podcast. I really haven't decided, to be totally candid, but we'll figure that out. I do like having the three-episode format of basically 22-minute shows, and they turn into 22-minute podcasts. So that's probably what we'll wind up doing. I'm waffling back and forth on how I want to handle it, but we'll give you the final verdict. But at least for this week, just have this kind of super show of the three events together. If you have any questions for me, ryan@thegolfnewsnet.com. I'm on social media at Ryan Ballingy, except Facebook and YouTube. I'm Ryan Ballingy Golf. Handle for Golf News Net is Golf News Net on every service. And you can also join Golf News Net for $40 a year, $60 for 2 years, or $80 for 3 years in our fall special at golfnewsnet.com. Thanks so much for listening. Appreciate it. We'll talk to you next week on The Press.